They actually saw God. This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Today we're going to read Leviticus 10 through 12. And after the reading, I'll have some thoughts for you. I'm calling today's episode, What Were They Thinking? The show notes page for today's episode is lifespringmedia.com/S12E187. You can email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's open the Word together, shall we? Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu were two of Aaron's sons. They got their shallow cups for burning incense. They put fire in them. They added incense to it. They made an offering to the Lord by using fire that wasn't allowed. They did it against his command. So the Lord sent fire on them. It burned them up. They died in front of the Lord. Then Moses spoke to Aaron. He said, "That's what the Lord was talking about when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will show that I am holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored.'" So Aaron remained silent. Moses sent for Mishael and Elzaphan. They were sons of Aaron's uncle, Uzziel. Moses said to them, "Come here. Carry the bodies of your cousins outside the camp. Take them away from in front of the holy room." So they came and carried them outside the camp. It was just as Moses had ordered. The bodies of Nadab and Abihu still had their inner robes on them. Moses spoke to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar. They were Aaron's sons. Moses said, "Don't let your hair hang loose. Don't tear your clothes. If you do, you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community. But all of the people of Israel are allowed to show they are sad. They are your relatives. They can sob over those the Lord has destroyed with fire. Don't leave the entrance to the tent of meeting. If you do, you will die. That's because the Lord's anointing oil has made you holy." So they did what Moses told them to do. Then the Lord spoke to Aaron. He said, "You and your sons must not drink any kind of wine when you go into the tent of meeting. If you do, you will die. That is a law that will last for all time to come. You must be able to tell the difference between what is holy and what is not. You must be able to tell the difference between what is clean and what is not. You must teach the people of Israel all of the rules I have given them through Moses." Moses spoke to Aaron and to Eleazar and to Ithamar. They were Aaron's two remaining sons. Moses said, "Take the grain offering that is left over from the offerings that are made to the Lord with fire. It is very holy. Make bread without yeast from it. Eat it beside the altar. Eat it in a holy place. It's your share and your son's share of the offerings that are made to the Lord with fire. Those rules are in keeping with the command the Lord gave me. But you and your sons and your daughters can eat the breast that was waved. You can also eat the thigh that was offered. Eat them in a place that is clean. They have been given to you and your children. They are your share of the friendship offerings the people of Israel bring. The thigh that was offered must be brought together with the fat parts of the offerings that are made with fire. The breast that was waved must be brought in the same way. All of it must be lifted up and waved in front of the Lord as a wave offering. It will be the regular share for you and your children. That's what the Lord has commanded." Moses asked about the goat that was brought as the sin offering. He found out that it had been burned up. So he became angry with Eleazar and Ithamar. They were Aaron's two remaining sons. Moses asked them, "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in a place that is near the holy room? The offering is very holy. It was given to you to take the people's guilt away. It paid for their sin in the sight of the Lord. The blood of the offering wasn't taken into the holy room. So you should have eaten the goat in a place that is near the holy room. That's what I commanded." Aaron replied to Moses, "Today the people sacrifice their sin offering to the Lord. They also sacrifice their burnt offerings to him. But a terrible thing has happened to me. Two of my sons have died. Would the Lord have been pleased if I had eaten the sin offering today?" When Moses heard that, he was satisfied. Leviticus chapter 11. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, 'These are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, Whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hooves and chewing the cud, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the cud, or that have cloven hooves. The camel, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The rock hyrax, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the cud, but does not have cloven hooves, is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. These you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the rivers that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water, or any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination to you. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. And these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the kite, and the falcon after its kind. Every raven after its kind, the ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, and the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, and the carrion vulture, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. All flying insects that creep on all fours shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all fours, those which have jointed legs above their feet with which to leap on the earth. These you may eat, the locust after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. But all other flying insects which have 4 feet shall be an abomination to you. By these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot, but is not cloven-hoofed or does not chew the cud, is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean. And whatever goes on its paws, among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those are unclean to you. Whoever touches any such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. These also shall be unclean to you among the creeping things that creep on the earth: the mole, the mouse, and the large lizard after its kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, and the chameleon. These are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean, whether it is any item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, it must be put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening. Then it shall be clean. Any earthen vessel into which any of them falls you shall break, and whatever is in it shall be unclean. In such a vessel, any edible food upon which water falls shall become unclean, and any drink that may be drunk from it becomes unclean. And everything on which a part of any such carcass falls shall be unclean. Whether it is an oven or cooking stove, it shall be broken down, for they are unclean, and shall be unclean to you. Nevertheless, a spring or cistern in which there is plenty of water shall be clean, but whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. And if a part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it remains clean. But if water is put on the seed, and if a part of any such carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. And if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches its carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He also who carries its carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. whatever crawls on its belly, whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps. You shall not make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth. For I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. This is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the waters, and of every creature that creeps on the earth, to distinguish between the unclean and the clean, and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. Leviticus chapter 12. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, saying, If a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. As in the case of her customary impurity, she shall be unclean. And on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord, and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has born a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. Well, let's talk a little bit about Leviticus 10, and we'll look at verses 1 and 2. Let me read them for you again. Nadab and Abihu were 2 of Aaron's sons. They got their shallow cups for burning incense. They put fire in them. They added incense to it. They made an offering to the Lord by using fire that wasn't allowed. They did it against his command. So the Lord sent fire on them. It burned them up. They died in front of the Lord. Now, think about what Nadab and Abihu had witnessed. In the closing verse of chapter 9, the Lord himself sent down fire on the altar and burned up the offering. Do you remember that? So they had a very recent evidence of the reality of God. And also, they witnessed the miracles that God did in bringing them out of Egypt. They heard the voice of the Lord. They saw the fire, the smoke, and the lightning, and they felt the earth shake at Mount Sinai. They were there with Moses, Aaron, and the 70 elders when God called a meeting on Mount Sinai, and according to Exodus 24, they actually saw God. What were Nadab and Abihu thinking on this fateful day when they decided to go against the very explicit instructions of God? Was it pride? Ambition? Jealousy? We don't know. Maybe it was familiarity. They might have just become so used to the idea of serving God that they didn't think anything about it. Maybe they no longer thought of their duties as special. Whatever they were thinking, they were not considering the holiness and truly awesome nature of God. Now, beloved, though we live in the age of grace, once again, we've got to be reminded that God doesn't change. Yes, Jesus is our intercessor at the right hand of God the Father, and it is Jesus who took upon himself the sin of the world, my sin and yours, but let us not become so familiar with God that we take his grace for granted. That grace came with an enormous price. Let's not cheapen it with a cavalier attitude, because I can assure you, God does not. Let's be thankful each and every day for the forgiveness that we've received through the shed blood of Jesus. Let us magnify him. Let us lift up his name. Let us worship him for what he's done for us. Let us thank him for allowing us to be alive today and for sustaining us because of his love. Let us consider how we can serve him with thanksgiving in our hearts.
With Easter, or Resurrection Day as I prefer to call it, just a little more than a month away, let us think of how Jesus, of his own free will, gave up the glories of heaven to be born a completely helpless human baby in a very primitive time into a poor working class family, with a mission to live a perfect, sinless life, to ultimately be deserted by his friends and beaten nearly to death, and then hung on a cross, where even God the Father had to turn his face from him. But just 3 days later, Jesus triumphed over sin and death when he walked out of that tomb. Hallelujah! O death, where is thy sting? Jesus is triumphant, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, now and forever. This is the God we serve. This is the God who saved us, and this is why we must never take him for granted. Hallelujah and amen. I'd sure like to hear your thoughts. Go on over to lifespringmedia.com/S12E187, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and leave a comment. Tomorrow we'll begin the book of 2 Kings. We'll read the first 5 chapters.
Boost!
Beloved, the show's only support is from the LifeSpring family. There are no advertisers because I won't compromise the message of the gospel. I don't take advertising because advertising is censorship. If I relied on advertisers, I'd have to water down my comments so the advertisers wouldn't have to worry about offending people. Listen, I don't want to offend anybody, but there are those people who are offended by the plain teaching of the Bible. So instead of compromising, I rely on you. If you believe in what the LifeSpring family is all about, if you're receiving value from the show, then all I ask is that you send some of that value back to me in either time, talent, or treasure. There are ongoing expenses to create the shows, to store the over 2,600 episodes of the LifeSpring Media podcasts, to pay the bandwidth for the downloads, to pay for the software subscriptions and updates, for studio equipment, and on and on and on. I can't tell you how much money to send. I'm not going to ask for a specific amount. You decide how much value the show brings to your life, then put a number on it and send some of that back to me. The amount is your decision. A one-time donation or a weekly or monthly or quarterly donation, it's up to you. Pray about it, would you? If you believe in what the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible is all about, if you'd miss the show if it went away, then please help support it. You can do that at lifespringmedia.com/support. Another way to support it is by using one of those podcasting 2.0 apps that you can get at newpodcastapps.com. With one of those, you can set it up so that as you listen, you can stream micropayments to me as you listen. These days, they're pretty easy to set up. You don't have to be a complete geek. And whenever you listen to the show, as soon as you hit play, you start streaming sats to me. And when you hit stop, the streaming sats stop. You can send boosts and boostergrams when you hear something that you really like. And it really is a fun and rewarding way to send value back to me. So if that sounds like something that you'd like to do, just go on over to newpodcastapps.com. However you support the show, I thank you, and I know God will bless you. On this date in church history, March 7th, 1804, the Nonsectarian British and Foreign Bible Society, or BFBS, was founded in London to promote the circulation of the Holy Scriptures without note or comment, both at home and in foreign lands. BFBS funds and publications aided such missionary pioneers as William Carey, Robert Morrison, and Henry Martin. And on this date in church history, March 7th, 1825, Alfred Edersheim was born. He was the Jewish-born Anglican Bible scholar, theologian, and writer. His most widely read title, The Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah, published in 1883, is still in print. Prayer requests. I got an anonymous prayer request that says, please pray for my son Russell, that he would receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit with wisdom, knowledge, and discernment to make good, godly decisions. Pray that he give his life to the Lord and repent of his sins and be the man and father that the Lord created him to be. Well, I'll tell you, anonymous, believe me, I do know how you feel. I, too, have a prodigal in my life, and the lovely Lady Leanne and I have lost many hours of sleep and we've shed many tears, but we're leaning on God's promise from Proverbs 22:6, which says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." I've talked about my dad on the show before, but I'll share again that for most of his life, he was completely against anything having to do with God. The day I accepted the Lord as a teenager, my dad told me that I was a fool. So on the day that should have been a day of rejoicing, I ended up in tears. Over the years, I'd try to talk to him about Jesus, but he would just shut me down. So I decided that instead of me talking to him, I began to pray that the Lord would bring someone into his life that he'd listen to. And shortly before he died, his next-door neighbor came over to his house and said to him, "Kenny, you don't have much time left. You need to accept Jesus." I don't know the whole conversation, but my dad did give his heart to the Lord at the age of 82. We can never give up praying for our loved ones. And I hope your son doesn't take as long as my dad did, but hang in there. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we worship you. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Help us, Lord, to never take these great gifts for granted. The forgiveness you've given us cost you so much, and there's no way we could ever repay you. All we can do is thank you as we offer ourselves back to you. Now, Lord, we pray for Russell. First, we pray that his heart would be softened and that he would hear Jesus knocking on the door of his heart and that he would respond to the message of the gospel. Lord, help him to see that he needs forgiveness of sins that only come through accepting you as his Lord and Savior. And then we pray that he would truly allow you to shape him into the man you created him to be. Give him the wisdom that we've been learning about from our reading of the book of Proverbs. Give him a thirst for your word and a relationship with you. I thank you for the love and concern that Anonymous obviously has, and I pray that you bless them and give them a peace, knowing that you love Russell infinitely more than even they do. And I thank you, Lord, for each person that you brought to the LifeSpring family. Thank you for giving us this vehicle to share our time around your word. Thank you for the technology that allows us to come together from all around the world. What a marvelous gift it is you've given us. I pray that you bless each one wherever they are, whenever they hear this. May they feel your presence with them right now. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've got a prayer request or a praise that you'd like to share with the LifeSpring family, go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com like Anonymous did and share it right there. prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Comment on the show. Tell me what you like. Tell me what maybe you didn't like. Go to lifespringmedia.com/S12E187. Scroll to the bottom of the page and you'll find a place to tell me your thoughts. You can also email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com and support the show if you receive any value from it. Do that at lifespringmedia.com/support. And until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. My name is Steve Webb.